coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, September 12th, 2023, the day after the 22nd, the commemorative day of 9/11, 22 years ago yesterday, if you can believe that. And it was, oh my goodness, it was probably a decade and a half ago that roughly that I met my guest in Florida. And I knew he was something special. Jonathan Cahn, who is just a prolific author. He has written a new and very thought-provoking book. You know, he's a 7 times New York Times best-selling author. And this is his most explosive book yet. It's called The Josiah Manifesto, The Ancient Mystery and Guide for the End Times. Now, I'm going to tell everyone something because, folks, we had a meeting on Sunday and there was this constant question that people have that we're in the midst of this unrelenting, persistent, evil darkness. And the question I always get is there hope? What do we do? Is there some sort of blueprint through what we're going through? And Jonathan Cahn will address that and much more. I'm just so tickled to have Jonathan Cahn with me, and I would urge everyone listening to this broadcast, and I mean this, you know what a bookophile I am, okay? I love to read. I've got a library full of books, and this is my new favorite book, The Josiah Manifesto, and I don't say that lightly. You know that, folks. I don't say that lightly, but when I look for spiritual books that inspire, inform, and really kind of lay out the way things are and the way things could very well be, will be, and are destined to be, I look toward Jonathan Cahn, his books, and especially this one. So with me, without any further ado, is Jonathan Cahn. Thank you, sir, for coming on the show.
Oh, great to be with you, Doug. Always. It's always a joy to be on your program.
Well, I'll tell you something. You've been on my mind after reading this book. You've been on my mind. And I just, I thought your last book was like the best. But then you go off and do this. You write another one that's even better than the last. So I appreciate that. And the people I know do as well. Let's get right into it and talk about the Josiah Manifesto. By the way, folks, Hagman PI, if you open up today's description box, you can find the links to purchase this book. Now, this is an advanced reader's copy. I have my own copy.
This is that.
It is, right there.
That's
in my office where it's not allowed to leave my office because I treasure that book a whole lot. So let's get right into it. This is Josiah Manifesto. What's this about? What's it going to reveal?
I would say that imagine for someone who doesn't know, if God was giving us a revelation about where we are prophetically, where we're going, what's coming, and a message and pointing to an answer. What if there was an answer from his word? But that is for now, as you said, a blueprint, a guide, that would open up. What do we do? What do we need to know to prevail, to survive, and, to thrive, to stand as God's people in this hour and in the days ahead and in the end times? That is what the Josiah Manifesto is going to open up. And then also, what if we've been all part of this mystery that we didn't even realize that the events that have been unfolding really before our eyes in the last few years, what if there was a mystery behind it? What if there was a calendar from God that actually gives the appointed times that when the shakings of America have come, and not only what kind of shaking is coming, but also the actual timing of it? The Josiah Manifesto is kind of like, I'm trying to think of comparing it to the other books, there are the opening of the mysteries, but it's also kind of taking you on a prophetic journey with one puzzle piece, another mystery, and they all converge. They all come together to then give a key to open up this blueprint for the days ahead. And that's why it's called Manifesto, because the last part of it, the last 100 pages are really what do we do, and how do we live? How do we resist what's the darkness? How do we stand against it? How do we overcome that? How do we protect our families, our walks, everything? How do we live for the end times? So that's why it's called, it says the ancient mystery and guide for the end times. So, in a nutshell, that's what this is going to open up. And as you said before, we were talking before the program. More than any book I've written, this gives the question, is there hope? And there is, but we have to rise to it.
Boy, exactly. And you know, when I read this book, I'll say one and a half, I was going to say twice, but really one and a half times, the manifesto, I had to reread, and it really energized me. And I'm not just saying this because, again, you know, we hit like, man, all this bad news all the time. But it's almost as if everything has been appointed. And forgive my terminology if it's not exactly what you... But boy, you know, the way you've written this, we're supposed to be right where we're at, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there is something, you know, none of us are here by accident, and we are here not just, you know, existing, but for the time that we're in. You know, God, if he didn't want us in the Middle Ages, he didn't want us in the end times, he would put us in the Middle Ages. He has us here because he has called us for this time, for such a time as this. We have a purpose. It's not just to, you know, try to hang on, you know, and just try to not fall. We have a purpose here. So yeah, there have been, you know, the one of the things in the Josiah Manifesto is, you know, the hand of God is very strong. God is very real. The same God of the Bible is the same God behind the events that have been happening in our world. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. I mean, it's there. So yeah. So the first is, you know, where are we? Where is it going? The mysteries of God. And then, you know, what do we do?
And I'll say this, if you have any doubters or any member of your family, by the way, you don't need any occasion to give this book to a family member, a friend, a pastor, whatever, the Josiah Manifesto, because to me, this is, this would accompany the Holy Bible, in, of course, today's newspaper. But this will change. I believe this book can or has the ability to change the hearts and minds of many people. But okay, so let's start with the mystery, which begins on the island of Cuba when you gave a prophetic object in message to Fidel Castro. Now, I didn't know this. Okay, what happened, and how does that open up the mystery that has affected all of us?
Yeah, well, Doug, I was asked to go to Cuba, and because Fidel Castro was going to open up the island for 1 month for the gospel. He was going to allow it for 1 month. And I was asked by the believers of Cuba to open it up with the sound of the shofar. And I did. And tons of things happened. I mean, beyond that, the natural, throughout that month, I went through the island. And I was led to give the message of the Jubilee. And we ended up in Havana, Revolution Square, and Fidel Castro actually showed up at that event. And I was invited to go to his presidential palace to give him something. And I knew before I even went to Cuba that this was going to happen. And so I prepared, and I had three gifts to give him. One was a Bible that was banned in Cuba. The other was a prophetic object, and the other was a prophetic message on a piece of paper. And the prophetic object and the prophetic message were all linked to the biblical Jubilee. And the thing was, Doug, that this, what I gave him, actually pinpointed how much time, when his time in power would end. It ended up being prophetic because it pinpointed the exact year that he would be basically taken from power, the exact day and the exact hour. In fact, it went all the way back to the very time when his reign began, and Batista, the dictator before him, fled. Well, it went back to the very hour. So this is, and there's so much to this, but this is to set the stage. That's how the book opens, pretty much. But setting the stage that there, this is the other side of the Jubilee. It's not just restoration. It's also restitution. Because, you know, if you lost your land on the year of Jubilee, you got it back, restoration. But if you took something that didn't belong to you, you took someone's land in the year of Jubilee, it was taken from you. Fidel Castro had taken something that didn't belong to him. It was taken. Well, this other side of the Jubilee, the judgment side, is actually going to provide the key, I mean, in a stunning way, to what we've all just been through with this plague called COVID.
Well, okay, yeah, give us a taste of that, because, again, you know, that's... You can't go a program. I can't go a program without referencing something related to that. So let's talk more about that.
Yeah. Well, the first thing is this, you know, the Jubilee is that in the year of Jubilee, it's a reversal again, for good or bad. It's a reversal for both. And so things are undone. So that's the first thing. The other principle, and that I one of the things in the beginning of the book is you see the prophet Jeremiah standing over the Valley of Hinnom where they killed their babies. And the thing is that he said, basically, this, what you have done to the children is going to come back to you. And that is a ironclad principle in the Bible. What a nation does to its children is coming back to them. So to them. So if you know, in the Jubilee is, well, if you take something, it's going to be taken from you. So we took life. Life is going to be taken from us. So when did we take life? When did we begin actually killing our children on demand? Well, it began not in 73 with Roe versus Wade. It began in 1970. And so 1970 is that year. So what happens if you go to the Jubilee year of that? Would anything happen? Would anything come back to us? Well, the Jubilee year of 1970 is the year 2020. That's the 50th year. 2020, does anything happen? Yeah, it comes back. 2020, a plague comes to us. We took life. Life is now taken. And the thing is, when Jeremiah speaks about what happens because of what you did to the children for Israel, he says one of the forms that's going to come back is the form of, in Hebrew, it's called Dever Gadol, which means a great plague, or literally a massive pandemic. So it happened. But it's even more specific because, Doug, when's the very day that abortion on demand first makes its entrance? Well, it happened in January of 1970 in the New York legislature. The bill that would change everything, actually would lead to Roe versus Wade, that bill is introduced on January 20th, 1970. Okay, go 20 years later. Where does it take you? It leads you to January 20th, 2020. Did anything happen? January 20th, 2020 is the exact date that the plague called COVID officially entered the soil of America. It was the day of patient zero when the first case was identified. So it's 50 years from when we began killing, or the beginning of killing children is now 50 years to the day comes the plague, to the day.
That's amazing. And I had to go back first of all, I had to go back to 1970, and you're exactly right. And then, of course, I remember January 2020 when, like you said, patient zero. And yep. This, obviously, I don't believe in coincidences. This blew my mind when I read this, and I understood the significance of this, because everyone remembers when the lockdowns fell upon this nation and we were just faced with tyranny. Everything changed, and that, of course, was part of the mystery, you know. Yeah. As well.
Also with that is that, you know, you're right, Doug, you know, it began, the very beginning was that late January. But we didn't really feel it until the middle of March when everything fell. That everybody remembers. Yeah. It. That's when everything fell. That's when, and there was one day particularly, that's when our lives were changed. We were locked down. One day was when the day that it all happened was when Trump went on the airwaves that night. He addressed the nation. And he announced America was going to be quarantined now. The quarantine began. the lockdown started falling all over the place. Within, you know, very shortly, we were all locked down. The stock market crashed that day from a bear market, from a long bear bull market to a bear market. Everything changed that day. In fact, the media, if you look it up, calls it the day that everything changed, or the day that changed everything. When was it? It was March 11th. All right. That's when everything fell. Well, if you go, what happens if you go back 50 years, 1970, to that, from that exact day? It'll take you to March 11th, 1970. Anything happen? March 11th, 1970. That was the day we actually began killing children on demand on American soil. That was the day. So now, from the day when the death began, now this death falls on us 50 years again to the exact day.
Proving, of course, you know, God has a plan. There are no accidents. There are no coincidences. And again, folks, look, if you have a someone who doesn't quite believe that God has got a plan for us, this is the book for you. And especially if you believe that really there's no hope out of this unrelenting, persistent darkness, this is the book for you, the Josiah Manifesto. Rabbi Kahn, can you, I just want to, if you don't mind, just take a moment. Where should people go to get this book?
Oh, thank you, Doug. Yeah. It just came out, the Josiah Manifesto. This is what it looks like. It's everywhere, literally. Amazon, if you go online right now, Amazon has it. Everything online will have it. It's in every bookstore, Barnes & Noble, Walmart has it. Everywhere has it. And I pray that people not only get it for themselves, get it, as Doug said, for people in your life. Number one, who don't believe, as well as people in your life who do, but need to be prepared for what is coming. So it's literally everywhere.
Yeah, and the preparation part, folks, you cannot outdo what's in this book with respect to preparation, and I mean that. Okay, so moving along, we have been subjected to the lockdowns, the tyrannical, arbitrary lockdowns by this plague, this bioweapon, as I've referred to it as. Where next? In the steps here that we're taking.
Ahead. Well, one of the things, Doug, it's not only the timing. This mystery is also actually the place as well. Because the prophet Jeremiah, when he looks over the Valley of Hinnom, he says, basically, the death, or that you killed the children here, you shed their blood. Well, so this destruction's coming right back to where you killed the children. So the question now is, it's called the Valley of Hinnom. We get the word Gehenna from it, which is the word for hell. So the question is there a Valley of Hinnom in America? Or what is America's Valley of Hinnom? And then would something return there? Well, there is. It's New York, because New York not only was the entranceway for abortion coming into the continent of America, but also it became the capital, the abortion capital of America to this day. More children have been killed in New York. Their blood has been shed in New York than any other place. So the ancient principle and mystery of the Bible, that could a death return to New York specifically? Well, it's exactly what happened. When COVID came to America and then America became the center of this pandemic, it didn't just come to America. It focused on this little sliver of land called New York, actually New York City. It focused on it so much so that at that time, one out of every two cases in America of COVID were in New York. If you believe that, in New York, one out of two. Okay. So it was the capital of the world for the plague. The abortion capital became the plague capital. But not only that, at one point it reached its milestone, which was on April 10th. It reached the milestone, which is that from then on, at that point, New York had more cases of this disease than any other nation on the planet, including China, more in the little area of New York. That was the milestone. That was the peak. Well, what happens if you go back 50 years from that? Well, anything? It would take you to 1970, April 10th. Anything happen? April 10th, 1970 is the day specifically that New York legalized abortion.
Amazing. Legalized. Well, yeah, but exactly. And again, you're talking 3 years prior to the Supreme Court decision, which, you know, and when I was reading the book, just putting things together with the dates, I was just amazed at how everything is falling into place. And I say is because this story is not over yet. And that does lead us to the mystery of the gates.
Well, and this goes with what we just, where we left off, because, you know, the Bible speaks about judgment coming to the gates of a nation. And when Jeremiah gave that prophecy over the valley where they killed the children, he did it at the gate. And so they actually killed their children by the gate. Well, it does America have a gate? The gate of America, we know, is New York. It's always been, it always is the gate of America. It's where everything goes in and out. Well, not only is it the place where this plague came, or, and it's also the place where abortion came too, but it's also a gate is where you come through. So it was also the place where abortion came through and spread to America. You know, people don't realize this, but in those first 3 years, 1970 to Roe versus Wade, 73, most of the abortions in America took place in New York. And a lot of it was people coming to New York and then going back home. Abortion actually spread to America. New York, the majority was New York. Okay. So now the question is, well, actually, I'll even go further. There was one other gate that it came through in that year to the continent, and that was the Western Gate. It was Washington State. So you got New York on the east. You have Washington State on the west. Those are the two gates it came to the American continent. So the question, when now 50 years later, one Jubilee, what happened when the plague comes? This comes to America. Well, the answer is it came through New York and it came through Washington State. The same exact gates through which came the death, the killing of children, came this plague. And so here are the two gates, you know. And in fact, Doug, when they did genetic studies on the virus, they found that the majority of cases of COVID in America, if you had COVID, the majority of them came from New York, just like the majority of abortion came through New York. And the other ones, the remainder, came from Washington State, which is the same gate that patient zero came through. And when that was identified, it was exactly 50 years from when abortion reared its head in New York. So, I mean, it's not only the time, it's the exact place.
Man, that is absolutely stunning. And again, this proves to me, again, when I read this book and I went through it, checking on the dates, and look, this is right along with scripture. This is on God's time. You can't make this up, as they say. Now does this, the book asks the Jeremiah question. What is that specifically? Do we cover that? We kind of touched on that, but let's expand that a little further, if you don't mind.
The question is it's like kind of like the unavoidable question, Doug, and that is that, you know, when I looked at it at the end, I said, okay, but you know, now you know, Jeremiah says the blood of the children will be repaid. So the question here, I wonder, okay, well, now, what about the numbers of what took place in both cases? And so the question is, first of all, in those first 3 years, that critical period of from when abortion came until Roe versus Wade, how many babies were killed in America? And the answer is 1.3 million children were killed in that window. 50 years later comes another window that corresponds exactly to that window, and that is from 2020 to 2023, the window of COVID, of the massive time of COVID. So the question is, my question is, how many Americans died or were struck in some way died as a result of all this? And the answer is 1.3 million, the same exact number the plague struck, the same number as the children who were killed on our soil.
Wow. Again, you know, you can, folks, you can toss around numbers all day long, all you want. But when you look at the official numbers that are given, and then you compare it, of course, to the Jeremiah question, the numbers add up or at least line up. That's amazing. Now, you know, one thing that blew my mind, and again, it continues to blow my mind. We can do, by the way, we can do entire Bible studies on this, and I think yes. I'm going to take part in a long distance one with a friend of mine. But one of the mysteries in this book, Josiah Manifesto, has to do with what happened on January 6th. Now, this grabbed my attention at Capitol Hill. If you don't mind, start by telling us the mystery of President Donald J. Trump, or Donald Trump, the citizen, or the president.
Yes. Yeah, well, this one begins actually with a book I wrote called The Paradigm. But where this goes happened after the book. It's actually foreshadowed in the book, but it happened after. It happened, you know, in recent times, and that's why it's only in the Josiah Manifesto, but it's the fulfillment. Because one of the things I didn't even mention, that in many ways, this book, The Josiah Manifesto, the mysteries that begin in the other books, like The Harbinger and The Paradigm and The Oracle and The Harbinger 2 and The Return of the Gods, all kind of come in for a landing. And so this is one of them. So to set the stage, one of the things, the mysteries, is that behind the leaders of in our day, there's actually a paradigm from the Bible, a template where they're following, at least this group of leaders are following this ancient template, where they're following an ancient prototype leader that is spoken of in the Bible. And the one behind Donald Trump for America is the man the Bible calls Jehu. Jehu was a man who was, number one, he was wild. He was unpredictable. You never knew what he was going to do next. Well, Donald Trump, he was a fighter. You know, Donald Trump fights with everybody. He wasn't a politician. He was an unlikely man, yet God used him. So whatever you think of Donald Trump, it's not about where he's at with God. We don't know where Jehu was with God, but it was that he was used by God as a vessel. And Jehu was used because the thing was, the nation was falling away from God, had a corrupt leadership and was falling from God. And then God raised up this unlikely man, Jehu, to accomplish his will within the midst of this and kind of hold it back. And so at the same time, so Jehu begins a race, you know, on a chariot to the throne. Well, Donald Trump begins his race to the presidency. And on the way to the throne, Jehu makes an alliance with the religious conservatives of the nation. And so it's exactly what Donald Trump did with evangelicals, with conservatives. And actually, Jehu makes a specific partnership with a religious man, and they ride together in the chariot to the Capitol. Well, so did Donald Trump. And the thing is that, but before Jehu could take power, he had to defeat an opponent. He stands face to face, and who's the opponent? The nation's former first lady. This is Jehu. And so Donald Trump, the nation's former first lady, Hillary Clinton. And actually, in the case of Jehu, that former first lady was for Baal worship, which meant for the offering of children. Well, Hillary Clinton was the number one champion of abortion in America. So it all goes. And remember, everybody thought that, you know, Hillary Clinton was going to win. Well, the template in the Bible said, no, when they come face to face, Jehu's going to win. And so the American Jehu, Donald Trump, wins. And the thing is, I'll just throw this in just so you see how how exact or stunning it is. You know, Hillary Clinton was with her husband for 22 years on the national stage when he became governor to the end of his presidency, 22 years. But and then after that, she was on her own. She was in power Secretary of State, Senator for 12 years. Then she went back on the national stage to run for president for 2 years. So it comes out to 22 years with her husband, 14 years on her own. Jezebel, or the former first lady in Jehu's case, was on the stage for 22 years with her husband and on her own 14 years. So it's exact. So Jehu then goes to the capital city, and you know what his agenda is, Doug? It's to drain the swamp. So does Trump. And then when he gets there, there is a temple of Baal. And so he pulls it down. He destroys it. That's where they're killing children. And the principle is, when Jehu rises to power, the temple of Baal falls. Well, the interesting thing is that when Trump began his rise in the summer of 2015, it turns out there was a temple of Baal that has existed in the world since ancient times. It withstood for almost 2,000 years in Syria. Mm-hmm. Well, when Trump rose to power in that same 2 months later, When he began, the temple of Baal falls to the earth. When Jehu rises, the temple falls. And now here's the other thing now. And there was no way I couldn't have known it except God knows it. So the templates I wrote a few years ago, but it came true now. And that is, in one part, now think of January 6th, Jehu calls for an assembly for people around the nation to come to the capital city. So does Trump. Then the people of Jehu, they gather around a great capital building. So the people of who are supporting Trump gather around a great capital building, which is the capital building. Then the people of Jehu in the Bible, there are proceedings going on in the capital, great capital building. And then the people of Jehu, they take the building. They enter the building according to the Bible. Well, the people of Trump, not all, but the same thing happens on January 6th. They go in and they take the building while proceedings were going on. Now, there's so much more to this, but there's a significance to this, but I will tell you a few things. Number one, that the week that began January 6th, actually what happened was the Capitol was taken over by the Democrats, and their agenda was basically the agenda of Baal. It was child sacrifice, abortion. It was sexual immorality. It was all these things. So it very much plays into the template of Jehu. But also that Congress was dedicated, or the invocation was a prayer, but not to God as we know it. It was a prayer in the name of the god Brahma, a pagan god. So this goes right into the template of Jehu. At the end of that week of January 6th, the Capitol Police announced they had arrested on site. The number they arrested on site in connection was 80 people, made headlines, 80 people.
Yep.
Well, if you go to the book of Kings, 2 Kings, you go to the template of Jehu, it gives the word, the Hebrew phrase, which is shmonim ish. In Hebrew, that is the number of those who went in the building, and the number is, in Hebrew, in English, is 80 people.
Man.
Same exact number.
That's incredible. And by the way, if you think that's, if you're like what you're hearing right now, you're going to love reading this in the Josiah Manifesto, because the detail in which this is written about, the information, the comparisons, I'm telling you, all of this is appointed by God. Really, we're watching God's artwork in action. And you really have done a great job in really painting this picture, connecting the dots, showing people that, yes, this darkness is here. And the one thing I didn't know, though, when you were talking about the week of the January 6th, about the dedication to the darkness, and I use that as a...
Yeah.
Man, again, I had to go back and look and research that myself, but you're right on the money with this.
Yeah, you know what, Doug? Interesting thing, I don't know if you share this, but that guy who actually did that prayer to this pagan god who invoked the Congress, I actually mentioned that guy in the paradigm when I first speak about Trump as Jehu. And he's the guy who also, he's at the Democratic convention when Hillary Clinton was being nominated to stand against Trump, or Jezebel against Jehu. And he gives a speech, and then that speech, it's prophetic. He doesn't know what he's doing. He keeps saying, they're talking about Clinton, they threw her down, they threw her down, they threw her down, they threw her down. Well, you take those words from that speech about Hillary Clinton and you type in they threw her down, and it'll take you to the book of Kings, exactly where Hillary Clinton stands, or where Jezebel stands against Jehu, and they threw her down. So, I mean, this is like mind boggling, you know, but God gets the last word.
This is absolutely amazing. And folks, please do me a favor. I would consider this a personal favor. If you really want to be informed and inspired, especially today, because the darkness is all around us, the Josiah Manifesto is the book for you. Get it for yourself, your pastor, your friends, your family members, your spouse, whoever you get, your children, oh my goodness, especially them. But this is the book to get. And you know how I love to read. Well, this was a joy to read. So I thank you for that. And folks, it's available everywhere. The links will be at Hagman PI. Make sure you do it today or as soon as possible, because this is the book. Now, you had referenced, of course, New York City, Washington, D.C., of course, in the larger sense, but mysterious objects from the Middle East that appeared in New York and Washington, D.C. Did we address that?
No, we didn't. I'll tell you quick in this. I'll give a quick taste of it. Of course, we can only give a quick taste of these, sure. but the thing is that, you know, there was an object that when Trump was rising to the presidency just before the election, an object appears in his hometown in New York, and the object, mysterious object, and you know what it is? It's the Arch of Baal,
yep.
Which was actually taken from the temple that fell when he began rising, you know,
yep.
And so it's like a war against, you know, it's like Jehu versus Baal, and they actually had a ceremony. I actually recorded it. You know, we went down there. We recorded this. They had a ceremony with the leaders of New York. They unveiled it. But here's this is about child sacrifice. So you got a war. You got a spiritual war going on in America. And then later on, when Trump, you know, nominated Judge Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court, which is part of him undoing abortion, Roe versus Wade, it's part of that war. When those hearings were going on and all hell was breaking loose, an object appears in Washington in front of the Capitol building while they're having the hearings. And you know what it is? It's the Arch of Baal. You know, the Arch of Baal about child sacrifice. And that's what the war was all about. And even this, you know, even this template that we're talking about, that tells you something, because, you know, which leader in ancient times specifically warred against the ways of Baal and child sacrifice in the Northern Kingdom? It was Jehu. And so what that's even telling us, I mean, you know, from the paradigm to now, is that Trump was going to become the president who's going to be more responsible for pulling down Roe versus Wade. You know, the Temple of Baal, they killed children in it. So our modern day Temple of Baal has been Roe versus Wade. And right. So it's no accident that Trump would be used to bring it down.
Well, okay, so as a precursor to Roe v. Wade, you've got Dobbs v. Jackson, the case yeah. that was responsible for overturning Roe v. Wade. This was also, was it not part of this mystery? And
yeah.
and moving on from that, if we can combine things yeah. like the part that Amy Comey Barrett plays in all of this, the
yes.
connection between overturning Roe v. Wade and the Book of Leviticus, that's important, folks. It's in here. Let me, as well as the mystery of Adar 13 and Sivan 23. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. The amazing thing is, you know, God, you know, one of the things about the Jubilee is it's not only restitution, as we said, it's also redemption. And so there's a redemption in this, because throughout all this stuff, it wasn't just, you know, the Jubilee of abortion and the plague came, but also in the Jubilee of these things, Roe versus Wade was undone. You know, the Jubilee reverses things. So the thing is that, and it was by another case. And the other case was called Dobbs versus Jackson. So God uses a case to undo a case. And the thing is that amazingly it parallels everything, because Roe versus Wade was sent to the Supreme Court in the summer of 70. Well, 50 years later, it's the summer of 2020. And now this other case that's going to undo it gets sent to the Supreme Court. Roe versus Wade was received by the court in May of 71. 50 years later is May of 2021. The other case, Dobbs versus Jackson, is received and that at the say May of 2021. Roe versus Wade got its hearing in Supreme Court in December of 1971. 50 years later pinpoints December of 2021. That's exactly when the other case gets its thing. So everything that happened with Roe versus Wade, this other case happens 50 years later, the Jubilee. And one of the biblical dates is called Adar 13. And that is the date in the book of Esther when Haman, he makes this decree that's going to bring death and destruction. And it's linked to the Adar 13. Now, Adar 13 is the 13th day of the 12th month. That's the day of a decree of death and destruction. Roe versus Wade was heard before the Supreme Court on January 13th. That's December 13th, 1971. That's the 13th day of the 12th month, the day of a decree of death and destruction, because that's what it is. But then when you go further in Esther, what happens is that you have another decree by Mordecai, and that's the decree that's going to undo the decree of Haman. So it's going to undo the death and destruction decree. And when did that go forth? It went forth on the Hebrew day, Sivan 23. That's the day that undoes the death and destruction decree. Well, Dobbs versus Jackson was sent to the Supreme Court on June 15th, 2020. But on the Hebrew calendar, it was Sivan 23, the day of the decree that will undo the decree of death and destruction. Let me throw in one quick other thing. There's a principle in the Bible where it goes back to Moses. When they were first killing Hebrew babies, Moses was one of those babies and he was in the Nile, but he survived. He grew up to break the power that was killing the babies, Egypt. Well, could there be an American child of the Nile born in the time, the days of slaughter and destruction? Well, there was. Amy Coney Barrett was born, the first Supreme Court justice to be born as a baby when they were killing babies in that critical 3-year period. In fact, when she was born, Roe versus Wade was being heard at the Supreme Court. So she was the one who would grow up to be the Supreme Court justice. Her vote, nominated by the American Jehu, she was the third, the last one. She was the vote that would do it. It was by one vote that Roe versus Wade was overturned. And you know, Doug, you know when she did it? She did it when it was her 50th year, her year of Jubilee. She cast the vote to overturn the death that was there when she was a baby.
You know, folks, if you can't see God at work in this and God is in control, I don't know what to tell you. But this broadcast today is to bring you hope, inspiration, information, and that's exactly what Jonathan Cahn is doing. Please, folks, today, order this book because, when I was reading this book, I was thinking in the back of my mind, I didn't get there yet, chapter 40. I was working my way up to chapter 40. I'm thinking, what about that leak? What about that leak? You know what? That hit me right between the eyes. Folks, I'm telling you what, I'm not going to give spoilers out, but man, that was... It was one of the beautiful, beautiful written chapter. But think about that leak. But go ahead, sir.
Yes. Yeah, that's part of the mystery, too. Even the leak is part of the Jubilee mystery, and you'll see the hand of God. It's amazing.
It really is. Going forward here, that you write that the events that shook America were actually foretold, appointed by an ancient calendar, starting with a plague. I think we've gone over that, but to recap that or continue with this.
There's more to it. This is another mystery that kind of converges on the other mystery, and that is this. The amazing thing is, remember, we were all being shaken, you know, in that year, the shaking of America, and it wasn't just one shake. It was, you know, the COVID, the plague, then the cities were, you know, were on fire, was, you know, right, the summer of rage, and the amazing thing, Doug, is that every one of them, behind them, was an ancient appointed day of God that actually said what was going to happen and when it was going to happen. I'll do this real quick. And that is that in the ancient calendar of God, the first holy day, appointed day, is Passover. Why is that significant? Because Passover is the only appointed day of God that's specifically about a plague. Passover is about a plague. So, and on top of it, it's also the first time in world history that there was a national lockdown. Everybody had to go into their houses until the plague passed over. Does that sound familiar? Well, amazing thing is it comes in March, April. Well, that's exactly the time when the lockdown and the plague all fell on America. So when Jewish people in America were celebrating Passover and they're in their houses and they're talking about the ancient time when they were in their houses and the plague was passing through the land, they're actually locked down and the plague is passing through the land while they're talking about it after 3,000 years. I mean, it's amazing. That's just the first one. I'm going to give you a little taste of the second one.
Okay.
The second one, the appointed day is the day called Shavuot, also known as Pentecost. It's the day we all know of when the fire of God comes down and the fire of the Holy Spirit, the tongues of fire, you know, it's a day of fire. Well, the amazing thing is this actually takes the form of judgment because when you get to the time of Pentecost or Shavuot that year, What happens? All of a sudden, a fire breaks out on America. The cities go up in fire. The police stations up in fire. The streets in fire. The riots explode. Now it's shaking. It's destruction all over for an entire summer. You know, Shavuot, Pentecost opens up a summer harvest. Well, this is the entire summer. Well, the thing is, the exact day it began, the Pentecost, or Shavuot in the Hebrew calendar, the Shavuot version, it was May 28th, and that on that night, the Jewish people lit the fires of their candles, and they began. Well, that very night is the night when this exploded across America. The cities went on fire. That police station went on fire. On the exact day of fire comes a baptism of fire. Now I'm going quick, so I'm going to go to the next
Keep
one.
Keep going.
And the next one is the Feast of Trumpets. Now, that comes in September at the end of that summer. And so the thing is, that did anything happen? Well, the Feast of Trumpets is called in Hebrew Yom HaDin, means the Day of Judgment, because it's believed that God, you know, in the high court of heaven, as the judge, he seals, you know, what's going to happen, and he seals people, even who's going to live and die. And so the Jewish people, they all turn their eyes to God and his judgment and the court of God, and it's all about repentance, but get right with God. Well, did anything happen? On the exact day when it's all about the high court of God and judgment, on that day, God touches the Supreme Court, the high court of America. And all the eyes of America turn to the court on the day of God's high court. And that was the day it says he decrees who will pass from the earth. On that day, one of the Supreme Court justices passes from the earth, Ruth Ginsburg. It happens. It's on sundown. It's announced. It is on the day of the Feast of Trumpets, the day of the high court of God. And the thing is, you know, it was the Supreme Court that legalized abortion. Well, God is saying, you know what? You know, there's a higher court and there's a higher judgment, and it's not you. And so on that day, and the amazing thing, Doug, is it's that very act that happened on that holy day, that very act is the act that opened the door for the overturning of what the Supreme Court did 50 years before or so. That was the exact act that allowed it on the holy day. And one of the prayers that are prayed on the Feast of Trumpets is, God, remove the evil of the decree. They're praying, remove the evil of the decree. And that was the actual day that it began. And it just so happened that at that very moment, that case of Dobbs versus Jackson, because it was 50 years from when Roe went to the court, had just come to the court. And at that very moment, that the court seat is empty, which is the beginning of redemption.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Hey, folks, are you curious yet? I'm telling you, what a fantastic read. You cannot even make a fiction as good as this. I'm telling you. Now, you referenced the ancient prayer that's chanted in the Feast of Trumpets. That's what you referenced. Okay. All right.
Yeah. But it moves forward to, you know, I'll tell you one thing. In this one, sure. Doug, I actually witnessed, I had the grace of God, I was part of it. And that is, at that time, I was led with some others to call for a national day of prayer and repentance. And it was called The Return. And it was, we focused on the National Mall, tens of thousands of believers praying, interceding for America, and around the nation, there were millions watching it and taking part. And the thing is, it turned out it was called the Day of the Return. It turned out that on the Hebrew calendar, that actual date, we didn't realize it, is called Shabbat Shuvah, which means the day of the return. You know, and so it was a day of repentance. It's a day when a nation is to repent from its evil. It turned out, Doug, on that very same day, while we're in the National Mall, it's the day of repentance or day of turning. On that same day, Trump, the American Jehu, is standing in the White House lawn with the child of the Nile, Amy Barrett, who is, you know, for that moment. And at that moment, he initiates her nomination, which is going to the beginning of overturning Roe versus Wade. It was that day that set in motion that vote that was going to overturn Roe versus Wade. On the day of turning, we began the turning away from the evil. Jehu began pulling down the Temple of Baal. I mean, everything came together. And one other thing, When I'm on the National Mall, and I felt, okay, at this moment, we got to get all the trumpets, get the shofars, the power of God, and we're going to sound that shofar. So I said, to seal all the prayers. And I said, now we seal all these prayers. I said, let the power of God go forth. And I said, go. And they sound the shofars at what they sound that at that moment. At that moment, Trump opens up his mouth at that moment and begins the overturning of abortion from that moment. It was when the trumpet sounded, it was 5 o'clock, 4 minutes and 33 seconds. When Trump opened his mouth to begin the ending of abortion of Roe v. Wade, it was 5 o'clock, 4 minutes and 33 seconds, the exact same moment. And we hear the trumpet sound, and in the White House, the Trump sounds, you know, and so it all comes together to the exact moment.
Unbelievable. And so you talk about an ancient instrument that represented God's power.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
The shofar.
Okay. The shofar. Okay.
Yeah. That was the Jubilee. And now think about it. You know, here it is, the sound, the overturning began with the sound of God's power, the sound of Jericho. And also, in the year of Jubilee and on the day of turning, I mean, only God, this is how awesome God is. And this is going to lead to, you know, it all happened when Roe v. Wade was actually overturned. It was actually overturned in June of 2022. For those who know, I won't go into the detail, but Leviticus gives ordains that year from January 2022 to January 2023, that was the 50th year, the Jubilee of abortion. I don't know how much time we have, because I'll get to wherever you want.
We've got about 9 minutes left.
Okay.
So I'm going to just turn you loose. Go ahead.
Okay. So Doug, when I heard about that they had overturned, you know, they struck down the Roe versus Wade, I'm at an airport. I look at my cell phone and a scripture comes up about a guy named Phinehas. Now, Phinehas, amazing, he's a guy who, when Israel turned away from God, a plague broke out. Phinehas took an action, that a righteous action, that then ended or the plague turned back, it rolled back. So I'm wondering, well, could this actually have happened in America? Well, you know what, Doug? You know, there was the time, you know, the decision came out in June of the overturning of Roe v. Wade, but it was actually, the vote was before that, and the decision was written by Judge Alito. That's what got leaked. He wrote it in January of 2022, and he finished it at the end of January, beginning of February. That's when it got circulated. And so that was the decision that ended Roe v. Wade. That was sealed pretty much from that point. Well, the amazing thing is when you look at how the plague was at its peak in January of 2022. It was actually three times higher than it had ever been in the 3 years.
Right.
And what happened was all of a sudden it collapses. When Alito finishes that decision, when America's going to turn away from Roe v. Wade, the plague collapses by one eighth of where it was. And it has never come back to the point. And the death rate also collapses, and the death rate collapses, and the CDC says, puts it at, it reached its peak, and then it collapsed, and it gives the date. It says it ended, the week ending in January 22nd. January 22nd, 2020, that date is the day that the Jubilee of Roe v. Wade began, according to Leviticus. So even the turning back of the plague. So I'm gonna keep going, and that
keep
is that
going.
To bring this home. And that is, so what, how does this, all these mysteries converge to where, to give the revelation of where we are and what we need to know, and that blueprint I talked about. Well, that's the last part of the book. The thing is this, there's a sign in the Bible that is a powerful sign. That's the sign of the broken altar. When God, you know, when they were going to repent, they broke the altars in the high places. They were serving gods. When revival broke out, they broke the altar. Well, there is no greater altar, bigger altar in America than abortion, Roe versus Wade. That's where 60 million kids were killed on that altar. Well, the amazing thing. So when that happened, this was a biblical sign. God broke the altar. That is the sign of the broken altar. And that means that, you know, on one hand, that we're at the Josiah moment, because the broken altar, there's nobody connected to the broken altar in the Bible more than Josiah. I won't go into it, but Josiah, he came, this is the Josiah moment. This is the revelation. We're at the Josiah moment. That is, the nation was heading to judgment. America is heading to judgment. falling away from God, but God was giving the nation a last chance. With Israel, that was Josiah. So we have two things happening right now. We're on the verge of judgment. On the other hand, God has given a lot. By doing what he did, it was a miracle. By breaking that altar, there's a chance for revival. But what's going to happen, that will depend on what we do. And so that's what opens up. Josiah holds the key. And that's why the last 100 pages are the secrets of Josiah, the blueprint of Josiah. What do we need to know to overcome? Because Josiah lived in a day when they were apostate. They were offering their children. They were advocating gender confusion, actually, and sexual immorality. Yet Josiah was called, we are the Josiah generation. He stood against the darkness. He separated from the darkness. How did he do it? And how did he actually break the altars of his culture? We are called to do the same thing. How did he actually, he changed the course of his nation. How do we do that? He in days of persecution, he rose up. How do we stand for the end times? There's going to be days of persecution as well. How do we stand? How do we rise? What were the powers that Josiah had? What are the powers that we have? We are this generation, and we can, this could be our greatest moment, but we have to rise to it. So the last 100 pages are all about the secrets, the keys of how to stand in such a time as this, and not only stand, but overcome and prevail.
You know, the entirety of the book, to me, I read my Bible on a daily basis, but the entirety of the book really put the time in which we live, it made it come alive for today. So when I read the Bible and I've read this book, I understand to the best of my ability exactly what's happening and the way you lay this out and the manifesto, what we need to do, and how all of this comes together. I'm going to tell you right now, you need to get this book, the Josiah Manifesto. Go to HagmanPI.com, click on the link there within the program description box, or just go to Jonathan Kahn's website. It'll be in the program description box. But I've got to tell you, this book changed my outlook on everything, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I really do. And I don't think I've ever met a man more divinely inspired with respect to current and future and past events than Jonathan Kahn. I'm telling you, I don't know how, I seriously don't know how, 35 years as an investigator, and I seriously don't know how you connect the dots as you do. Because
thank you, Doug. Only by the grace of God. Thank you so much. You know, God is. I just said, Lord, I expect that Lord will reveal, and He does. But it's the grace of God. Thank you so much. And I know that we were talking before the program. I've never had a book where I finished the other book, and on that day, God basically said, "This is what you got to give an answer." This is going to be an answer, and I believe. Again, this could be we can rise. And this could be no matter what happens in the world. God's not finished with us, and God has us on earth to do a purpose. So I'm praying that people get it, the disciples, not just for themselves, but also for people in their lives. As you said very strongly, unbelievers, people don't realize the hand of God, and also believers who don't realize the hour or what to do, because God didn't call us to just sit around. He called us to be a light to the world. That's why.
Exactly. And I look at this book as like a leadership manual, okay? Because, again, I get the emails, what do we do? What's going to happen? There's really no way out of this. No, there really is. And you devote a good section of the book, the manifesto, really to tell us what to do. You are that leader that we're looking for, I think, in a spiritual sense. And I'm not just saying that, but I think when we look at everything, this really provides not just the historical backdrop, irrefutable evidence, but the inspiration and information to move forward. And that's what's important to me. It really is.
Yeah, I believe you'll listen. For those who stand for God, it can be the greatest moment. One of the mysteries, Doug, is that in the end times, things kind of go back to where they were at the beginning. Of the age. The beginning of the age, you had Israel in the world. Well, you got it back. You had Jerusalem. You have it back. We're going to have Messiah back. He was there But also the world is kind of going back to where it was, you know, from a Christian civilization, it's going back to pagan, you know.
Yeah.
But that means it's time for us to go back to where we were, which is the book of Acts, which is the apostles, which is the power of God. And it could be the greatest moment when the light gets, the dark is getting darker. The lights get brighter. You know, we have to be that light. Rise and shine, the Lord said, you know.
Exactly. And to be that light, folks, please get yourself a copy, as well as buy multiple copies of the Josiah Manifesto.
Looks like this. That's the broken altar. By the way, that's the broken altar. That we told, yeah.
There it is right there.
Yeah.
Jonathan Cahn, thank you so very much. God bless you and God keep you safe.
Doug, thank you. It's always a joy. God bless you, my friend.
All right, folks, that'll do it. Share this program with everyone you know and get a hold of the Josiah Manifesto today. God bless.